This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hello, everyone. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting from Aero 2014 in Friedrichshafen, Germany. I'm with Pete Bunce, president of Gamma. Pete, you gave us a briefing on a number of things here at lunch. One of the things you said that was interesting was that the situation with ADS-B equipage in the U.S. is that the ground segment of the system is complete, but people aren't yet buying, and that could cause kind of a traffic jam by the time the requirement comes due in 2020. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, yes, Paul, we're concerned because if you use the model, which is the one we have to go on with RVSM, basically everybody waited until right up to the mandate to equip. And if we have that same situation happen with equipage for ADS-B, especially on the general aviation side where we have to equip large numbers, we don't have the industrial capacity within our repair shops to be able to go and install all of that. So what we're trying to do is work with the FAA and see how best we can incentivize to be able to go and allow the community to see benefit before, and that may include just sitting there and as you take a look at the fleet and you say, okay, if you equip now, whether it's in the guaranteed loan program or whether it's in just cost. Most of us think that the price will go down just like if we buy a computer or we buy a large screen TV. But actually, as demand rises with the mandate coming up, we could actually see an inverse happen, and cost has really dramatically come down for not only ADS-B out, but an ADS-B in capability where you can start to get traffic. And for me as a pilot, you know, I want to be able to see those unmanned aerial systems that are going to be out there because I know I won't see them with my eyes. So I think there's some definite benefits that we'll be able to derive sooner than later that hopefully will get people to start equipping early. If we talk to our friends at the FAA, they say critical mass is somewhere between 65 to 70% where we're really going to start seeing a takeoff in how we change air traffic control in the U.S. because primarily now we all know it's radar-based. When we can go move more to this very precise ADS-B-based criteria with which you manage traffic, whether you're in a densely populated terminal area, we can start seeing some advantages there in capacity capability. So I think the message is that we've got to keep talking to people about ADS-B and how if you go and equip with it at the cost point that it's at now, what the systems that we have out there, you can start getting benefits today.
Now, here in Europe, the situation is reversed. They don't have the ground station build out, but buyers are more interested in the equipment, apparently.
Well, I think some of that is that demand is driven by mandates. So there was a forward-fit mandate, the forward-fit means for new aircraft production, and a retrofit mandate that was soon after that. Unfortunately, if you equip with it and you can't use it because there's no ground stations, it's useless weight that you're carrying on the aircraft. So there is input from the entire community, whether you're talking commercial aviation or general aviation in Europe here, to say, hey, you need to slide those right, but you need to get your ground infrastructure plan in place so people can start seeing that benefit. So it is kind of an inverse of what we're seeing in the U.S., and that mandate would allow people to take advantage of it if there were ground stations in place, but that's right now there really isn't a coherent plan of when all of those ground stations will be deployed out there.
During your briefing, you said that things are moving fast here in Europe and that there's a sea change and that you've almost had to put the brakes on EASA to kind of synchronize the efforts of the FAA so that these global efforts like the CS-23 revision kind of happen in sync. What's the reason for that? Why is Europe moving so fast?
Well, I think that EASA, being a newer agency and a smaller agency, is more nimble in that way. They're true partners with the FAA, Transport Canada, ANAC, the other regulatory bodies out there. But I think there is a very firm commitment on the part of EASA, as there is the FAA leadership. But the FAA bureaucracy is more difficult one. And then once it gets out of FAA, it's got to go to DOT, and then it's got to go to the Office of Management and Budget. So there's some more steps in that process than there is in Europe. So what we've asked, and fortunately, I think I have the utmost respect for Patrick Key, the head of EASA, is that we said, okay, can we slow down what potentially is happening in Europe to match what we're seeing with the FAA so that the rules come out simultaneously. Now, our challenge on the other side of the Atlantic is to make sure that the FAA, we keep their feet to the fire with the mandate that was given them by Congress and the President and signed into law that they're supposed to have a rulemaking out there by December of 2015. And so I think there's always that bureaucracy that tries to slow it down, and we want to keep the pressure on them, say, no, this is what the law says. Industry is going to give you the tools to be able to go and promulgate a notice of proposed rulemaking, and we need to make that happen.
So the nature of the sea change here in Europe is that they're actually delivering on their promises.
They're delivering not only on CS23, but in the whole looking at how they're going to regulate general aviation differently. It started off trying to regulate it just like commercial, and there's been true recognition that that's not the way to regulate it, and actually you improve safety by actually not easing up on safety regulations, but easing up on the way that you regulate the industry to allow innovation to get into the cockpit, to allow people better products. And we all know that flying in Europe here is more challenging, not only from a weather side, but from an airspace side. So giving people more situational awareness tools actually improves safety. But if you have such a regime that it's all based on commercial regulations, it's unaffordable to the average pilot. And what we've got to do is we've got to bring down the cost of flying, not only for people in Europe, but for people in the U.S. and all the planet.
All right. Well, Pete, thanks for the update.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
It's Paul Bertarelli reporting from Aero 2014 in Friedrichshafen, Germany. We've been speaking to Pete Bunce, who's president of GAMA. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.